Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
So, Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans did a number of interviews, real accessible out there. Did some sit-downs, real accessible out there in West Virginia, while the Texans were at the Greenbrier. And Seth, you were among them, among the guys get a sit-down interview with your former teammate, DeMeco Ryans. You want to tell us about it?
I had him on yesterday, and it ended up being a real good conversation about some of the things he does from a leadership standpoint and how he likes to interact with his players. But because of a lot of our listeners have, you know, wanted me to do this for a long time, I've told the story before about when I was a crusty old veteran and I kind of tore into DeMeco Ryans when he was a rookie out there in training camp 19 years ago. So that's actually what we started off with. And I left the initial part of the interview in here where I wanted everybody to hear me with DeMeco and him seeing how much I struggle still with my job as an actual broadcaster, for which I am not trained. So here's me from right the instant I hit the record button.
Hitting record is like the biggest challenge that I didn't go to communication school. But I bet they probably spent like a semester on it.
I know you figured it out, man.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm pissed at myself. I get nervous around head football coaches.
Come on, man.
I get
nervous. Me.
I can't. I don't care how friendly. Kubiak, the friendliest guy in the world, but like it's a head coach talking to you.
Oh, come on.
It's a head coach. Yeah. I was, you know, Sean and I were talking. I've told Sean this story before, and I don't know if you remember this at all, but it's a funny story, and I kind of tell it as a way to give people my first impression of you.
Yeah.
And it was in training camp in 2006. You're a rookie. I'm a 10-year vet. It's the first day that you're in with the starters. And I was kind of crusty and old school. And like, hey, you're a rookie, so I don't know, he's starting already. And you got into the huddle. We were doing like a red zone drill or something. Yeah. And you were having a hard time getting the call out. Mm-hmm. And Richard Smith is yelling at us and everything. Yeah. And I said to him, like, get that freaking hell call out.
Yeah.
And you looked at me, and I swear, it kind of like, you had a calming presence on me, like a Beastmaster or something. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I remember. I tell people that, like, when I was a rookie, I do remember when you were in the huddle, frustrated and grumpy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, rookie, make sure I get the call.
Yeah.
That was the main thing. But you needed that. I needed that as a rookie, uh-huh. Right? And I think a lot of guys, this is what the game kind of misses now, mm-hmm. Right? You don't have as many 10-year vets who – from playing with you and other vets who were on the team, it made me realize really quickly as a young player, like, hey, this is important. Like, these guys have families, have kids. Like, this is how I feel.
Like, this is business.
This is business. And it just, man, this is real. And really? I can't mess around. So that really forced me to make sure mm-hmm. I was really dialed in on yeah. communication, really sent me down a path to know, make sure I know what everybody had on the field, make sure I knew all the calls and checks so I never messed up.
Oh, so, I feel better. I felt bad about that for like 20 years now. Okay, good. It's good. I was, well, because you know, the other side of that too is you went on, you had a great rookie year, and I was injured that year, so I was kind of watching from afar. And I got released in the offseason, and I had to come back to Houston a couple weeks later. And you were the first person I saw when I parked out. I had to park in the staff lot instead of the player lot, you know, and it's kind of tough. You're walking in there and you just, and you came out and you were the first person I came across. And honestly, I felt like you came out and you just, I felt you like were excited to see me and talk to me and you were listening to me. I was like, this is a full grown man now. But like that meant a lot to me. Honestly, it was like that was like the first time in my life I'd been cut and you're going through all this stuff. And it was just really cool to watch you that year transform the way you did. And, you know, like, because Kylie Wong was on the team and he was trying to come back from an injury. And, you know, he had been the guy that was sideline to sideline all the time. And you kind of took his place.
Yep.
But Kylie was a huge fan of yours.
Yeah.
So, like, that, like, it's been, I mean, it's however many years ago what that was now, 19 years ago. It's
been a few.
Yeah.
But that shaped me. Like, being in at that season of the NFL when you have more veteran guys, like that really shaped me and it's helped shape my leadership kind of style. Like that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like and you take it serious. That's what I felt that it was more serious.
Really? You just like that's like, the difference you felt. The difference. Was like the how that it's not college kids.
Yes.
Yeah. What's so that you have that year and you know like okay we're talking about that. That's the other thing you see. Mm-hmm. Is when you're a rookie in the NFL, is like, oh, guys are getting cut.
Yes.
And they're getting cut during the season. And I was wondering about that with you because I always, it's one of the things that happens when you're head coach all of a sudden and you've been involved in decisions where maybe guys got cut before, but you're not the one delivering the news.
Correct.
So, like, what's your approach when you have to do that and you got to cut a lot of guys?
Yeah, really, when I was a young player, it really shocked me because I see all these vets who are practicing hard in training camp. Like I said, it means a lot to them. And to see vets who I'm thinking they're going to make the team and they get cut, it was just like, I can't believe they cut.
Yeah.
And so, and it happened again, like my second year. And it's like, man, just is this to be expected year after year? Yeah. So, and it was hard for me to take as a young player, but I kind of grew. I guess you don't want, it's hard too, but you just grow accustomed to like, man, this is just the business of the game where guys are going to be let go. That doesn't mean that you're still not close with guys or you can't be friends with guys, but you get to see guys on other teams. Mm-hmm. You get to have more friends around the NFL. And now sitting in a seat as a coach and having to deliver that message is so hard on me.
Yeah.
Like it's so hard because you're telling this player no. But the more and more I've done it, the more I've grown comfortable with it, not because of me, but because of the players and how they receive the news. Like every player that myself and Nick have talked to, they've been, one, very gracious of being here in Houston, thankful to everything that we do for the players. So it's like, okay, it's like it's a sigh of relief because I'm thinking guys are going to take it extremely hard and they're going to be disappointed. But most guys take it fairly well. And the one thing that a lot of guys say, hey, what can I do better?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's your time to give them now some constructive
give them
criticism.
That plan to try to build them up a little bit. Yeah.
And so it's been great meeting with the guy. It's still heartbreaking. Nick's like, oh, we got to go downstairs.
Just
go yourself.
I felt when Kubiak cut me, I felt like I needed to give him a pep talk because that was his first year, you know, and he'd already been through, that's his first offseason going through some of the veteran offseason cuts and everything. And he was just he was so ready to be a head coach in a lot of ways because he'd been in the league forever. And I was really impressed with him and how he handled everything. But I remember there was one day where he came in the team meeting where it was like, I thought it was the perfect illustration of how no matter how ready you think you are for it, you're not ready for it because he went off on something about like, and I'm tired of the agents calling and getting the calls and whatever this. And have you had that moment where you realize like, oh, okay, I was prepared, but I wasn't quite prepared for this?
Like one particular thing?
I'm trying to think here. It's so many different things that you think you're prepared to just coach ball.
Yeah.
Right? Because you spend time as a coordinator, position coach, just focusing on football. I think it's just when things get thrown in your lap, like having to handle the cuts, having to just handle scheduling and different things, adjusting.
It's just like all of it, like the enormity of it.
Yeah, it's a heavy weight to carry because there's so many things and it's never the same. Every day is different. Mm-hmm. So there is some beauty in that because it's not monotonous, but it also wears on you from a standpoint. You never know what to expect when you go in.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a moment hit me too hard.
You're pretty good at taking stuff kind of.
Try to.
You understand that when there's a challenge, you just got to work through it.
I try my best to.
Yeah.
Just work through it. And I think the one thing is try to treat everybody with respect, treat people how I want to be treated. And that's helped me a lot.
Do you have anybody? We were talking to Mike D'Antoni today. He claims he's retired. but he was talking about just being, you know, a lot of times coaches don't have, everybody's got. Players got sports psychologists and sports staff and everything. Yeah. Head coaches don't necessarily have like that mentor or that person that they can talk to about stuff. Do you have any older coaches that you still kind of draw from?
I do, man. Actually, my former coach, former linebacker coach, Johnny Holland,
was
here in Houston with us when we played. Like, Johnny is just
I loved him. And I didn't spend that much time around him. I loved him. Yeah.
So he's the guy for me who I can talk to. It doesn't matter. We're on different teams. He's still coaching, but he just feels like that big brother to me. No matter what's going on, our families are close. He's just such a great friend who's always going to shoot it straight to me.
You seem, you've talked about it, about finding different approaches for different players. You can't have the same necessarily leadership style for everybody. So, and you've worked up until this point, these last couple of years, mostly with defensive players. Yeah. Has there been a challenge in working with a young quarterback, or if you learned, this is a different set of challenges that I got to help this guy talk through that maybe I haven't done before?
No, it's whenever you're working with players, for me, man, the same with CJ, it's just about building relationships.
Yeah.
Like when I was in San Francisco, I felt like the linebackers that I was coaching, like I had a great relationship with those guys. Mm-hmm. So I was able to coach them hard. I was able to, give them bad news and good, and they received it because they knew it came from my heart, right? And I wasn't too hard on them, unless Aziz said something different. But with CJ, it's been the same. Like, no matter where guys are, offense, like, it's just, man, I just wanted to let them know that I truly care about them and develop a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then whatever coaching point I may have, it's easier to receive it because they know where it's coming from.
That's what I love. Honestly, I love when Aziz talks about butting heads with you because I think there's times where I think people have their vision in their head of the movie version of a football coach or whatever their high school football coach was, and that they think that to be a tough football coach, you got to be somebody that's screaming at them and insulting them all the time. And it really, Aziz, when he talks about him butting heads with you, it's a perfect illustration of, the toughest football coach is the one that holds you to a high standard.
That's it.
And the attention to detail, because it's 3 inches to the left and 3 inches to the right. And you're like, why will D'Amico not shut up about it? That's the stuff I think that people might not realize that players want and need, but that's also, that's the toughest coaching you get. It's just the standard you're held to.
It is. I have a very high standard for these guys.
Yeah.
And if they don't have one, I'm going to put one there for them them to reach. And even if it's a good play, I'm not always celebrating the outcome of the play. Mm-hmm. Hey, and I do it the right way, but hey, man, what if you were 2 steps to the left, right? What if your eyes were exactly where they're supposed to be on this play? Like, just making sure they go back to their process, being deliberate, the small little minute details, because in big games, as you know, it's not the wild plays.
Yeah.
It's who can be consistent, who can not screw it up the most, and those are the teams we're going
to
win.
Well, I talked to you about this last year. I love your pro-grow tapes.
Yeah.
Because I think, honestly, and you talk to a lot of guys that played in the league, and there's times where you just feel like, I feel like I got to improve at everything, and I don't know exactly what they even think about me or what I need to improve on, and it feels like these guys have a pretty good plan set out for them about, okay, just this digestible amount of things. I got to fix these one or work one on thing. These one or two things.
Yeah, it's one thing. And what we do during training camp, like that's the pro grow tapes we do in the off season in OTA. So when guys come in, it's one-on-one meetings with your coaches. You go through that pro grow tape, give you a couple things. And then, but when we come back in training camp, what I've done is I asked our offense, defensive coaches, every day of camp, I want one guy from your position, mm-hmm. and I want you to write down one thing that he's working on that day.
Yeah.
And we're going to list it. We're going to put it up in front of the team so mm-hmm. everybody knows, hey, CJ Stroud, progression.
Yeah.
Or Azeez Al-Shaair, hey, wrapping up. Yeah. Like, it's one thing. You pick one player from your position, so every day of camp, got different players on there, different one thing for them to improve on. Yeah. And we also do it.
And your teammates know about it.
Your teammates know, so your teammates can check you. Yeah. Like, hey, Seth, you were supposed to work on your first step.
Right, yeah.
Like, are you on it today?
And that's where, I mean, that's the players themselves are such valuable resources for that, right? Because a defensive tackle working next to another defensive tackle, and you know that guy's working, he's supposed to be working on his get off.
Right.
I'm going to remind him, like, hey, yeah, man, get your get off.
It's more powerful always when it comes from your teammates.
Yeah.
Just like we talked about you saying something about the communication. That meant more to me than it's like, oh, a coach is getting on me about the communication. Well, no. My teammate needs it. I'm going to make sure I got it down, right?
Yeah. I read The Energy Bus because I had read in an article that was on your shelf.
Yeah.
And I think the big one I took away from that, you know, you read, you know, it's like it's a good book for kids,
it is.
I think, because it's or young men, because a lot of guys aren't readers, but it's a kind of like parables almost.
Right.
But the concept of energy vampires and not being an energy vampire, is that still something you talk about? I heard it from players early last year, but I don't think I've heard it again.
Yeah.
Is it because you don't have any energy vampires?
I got rid of all the energy
vampires. Rid of the
they can't get on my bus. So no, it's definitely plays a part into like who we want on the team.
Yeah.
Like it's guys with good character, good energy, good vibe. And you do that throughout the draft process. For me, is like talking to their teammates or their coaches to see how our guy, we watch the tape. We get the tape.
Yeah.
Well, how are these guys around the locker room, around the building with the academic staff? And you get to know, oh, this is a real dude or not.
Yeah.
So if it's a guy, I got mixed reports on him and he's next.
Really? Yeah. You don't have time for it.
Because I know I'm going to be pushing guys. I know I'm going to set a high standard for them. And they have to be able to have their resilience and have a great attitude to be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make sure we get the right guys in. And Nick has done a great job of just both of us teaming up and making sure we find the right guys.
The right guys, yeah. And I think for you and Nick, it seems like you guys have formed a real good understanding of, hey, whatever, you know, because there's no one way to do it, but there's your way to do it and what's going to work for you. And you seem to have been able to identify some of these guys in the draft the last, because honestly, D'Amico, I'd love to be a grumpy old man about kids these days and everything. I come out here and watch, and I talked to Kamari Lasseter the other day. I'm like, these guys are more mature and professional than I think most guys were like when I was a young guy.
They are.
Like they just approach it differently.
Yeah, they are approaching it. And I think the college space has helped them when it comes to, like, now these guys are getting NIL, they're getting money. Like, they've seen a big paycheck before.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising to them. So they had to figure out how to manage money, how to manage a team of people who are helping them. They had to figure that out fairly early.
Mm-hmm.
So coming here, it's just that next step of it. So they're prepared, they're ready for the moment, and the league isn't too big for them. It's not overwhelming when they get their first paycheck, because these guys have seen numbers like that before.
As CJ Gardner-Johnson said that on the Pivot podcast, something about how the first couple years he was in the league, it was almost like he was living what he thought the movie version of a football player is. And you got to break all those preconceptions and everything about what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see, like, just some of these young guys. Like Kamari, I talked to him a little bit about something I had heard Fred Warner say that you taught him about, how, look, everybody's running the same thing. It's just they're getting to it different ways.
Yeah.
And is that part of the challenge in just kind of coaching something, is just simplifying it and saying, like, look, no, this is what you need to worry about. Don't worry, we won't hear the helicopter.
You won't hear? Okay.
Yeah. That's high quality equipment right there. Yeah.
Big time. Now, I truly believe in making football as simple as possible for
you.
Like, I've been on defenses where you try to run 50 different calls,
yeah,
and you're not good at any of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So people are like, oh, you run this scheme and this coverage. Yeah, we run this coverage, but it's going to be very detailed. And every little detail that we can even think about, like, it's going to be dialed in. Mm-hmm. And our guys are going to know that detail. And then once we get that defense down, then we go to the next one. And we're going to dissect that thing and make sure it's everybody knows all the ins and outs. And so now when you line up, we've gotten so many reps at mm-hmm. what we do. Now we can mix and match. We can do different things. It looks more complex than it is. But it's
the illusion of complexity.
That's what it's all about, yeah. Right? But I still want our guys to go out and be able to play fast. I don't want Kamari thinking. I don't want Aziz thinking. I don't want Will thinking. I want them to be able to play as fast as possible. And we do that by myself keeping it as simple as possible.
There was one article I was reading about kind of where things have moved with sports psychology. And it was one of these things. I fought it at first because I'm, you know, I got the movie version of football in my head. But the concept of, when you're trying to improve a skill or get a guy better at something, it's a lot more effective to just show them an example of somebody mm-hmm. else doing it right or they themselves doing it right than it is to show them the mistake.
Because sure.
then you're just strengthening the mistake. And I know when you first got here, you were showing these guys a whole bunch of 49ers
yes.
tape, right?
Yep.
Are you able to now show them a lot of Texans tape when you're doing that?
We got rid of the 49ers tape.
Did you guys bury it?
We didn't bury it. It's still in the archives just in case. We had to pull them an example. But, you know, for the most part, it's just showing guys how it's done. But for me, I always believe in positive reinforcement. It's not, hey, don't back up. Don't do this. Don't. Hey, man, hey, just one step this way. Hey, just make sure you put your eyes on the back this time. Hey, make sure you see that, and it's just all about the positive reinforcement. What do I need to do? Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah,
don't
immediately in the player's mind, he's thinking
don't
about he's getting mental reps on doing it the wrong way.
Exactly.
Gary Moeller, we added a defensive coordinator, Gary Moeller. He'd been the head coach at Michigan for a long time. He was big on that. He would say, you can't visualize a negative. So if you say don't fumble the football, immediately you're thinking about So it's hold on to the football.
Yes.
Did you read any books this last month?
I'm working on one. Nick just gave me, and you're gonna ask.
Oh,
me
is it? It's a Morgan Hensel one, probably.
What's the name of it?
Is it like Psychology of Money or something like that?
No,
I've read like four books by it that Nick.
Just gave me one. Oh man, something about everything is the same. I got to figure out. The
title. Yeah, it is. It is. I think of the name. What's the name of the author? Omar.
It's, everything is the same. It's not
the same as ever.
Same as ever.
It is good.
Same
it's
as
good.
Ever.
I read it when Nick sent it to me last year.
Same as ever. So that's the one I'm working on now.
It's all circumstances change and everything, but some things are true, and some people always operate the same way in certain circumstances.
Yep.
I read Belichick's book this summer.
How was that?
It was good. It started off slow, and then he got into it. He got into his group. He was I was listening to the audiobook.
Gotcha.
In the first couple, chapters, I'm like, this is Belichick, like press conference Belichick. This is going to be a long one. And then he got rolling. I thought the one, and I told Nick this, I like to read biographies or autobiographies of people mm-hmm. and pick out the advice that people definitely aren't going to follow because it's hard. And he said the four most important words for a leader to know are, I effed that up. And that taking accountability and just showing everybody that, hey, when you make a mistake, I'm taking accountability for it. And it doesn't mean it's acceptable. I'm going to fix it. But the leader's got to really admit, which I feel like for young coaches, that's tough. That's tough when you're not established. Like I'm guessing Belichick said that more as he got older than maybe when he was younger.
And I just believe that, like, just as a father, right, as a person, like, I believe in admitting, owning up to the mistakes and letting people know you're just human.
Yeah.
Like, I may have the title of head coach or title of dad, but hey, dad messes up too. Hey, I could have said that different to you. Like, I'm sorry. Hey, guys, I screwed that up. Mm-hmm. And this means I shouldn't have did it that way if I had to do it. Now I'm going back and I'm trying to work on it and fixing it. But I think that's, I believe in doing that.
Yeah.
And guys see that you're truly, I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the, you know, informidable head coach who never makes a mistake and will always say things perfectly in the meetings. And it's like, no. I'm just like you. We're all the same. We're going to make mistakes. I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to try my best to correct it for the next time.
Yeah, it makes it a lot harder for the guy that wants to claim he didn't mess up on that play, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not going to keep you. Got actual football stuff to handle. I feel so good that you took something from me dressing your
dad. Yeah, I did. Appreciate it, man.
Yo, I got to say, that Seth Payne with his former teammate, D'Amico Ryans, I got to say, I for one, appreciated the fact that we got these two football guys, former players, former teammates with the Texans, that didn't get all in the weeds about football. Y'all had a genuine conversation about life, professionalism, and kind of y'all's experience together, where y'all are at now or how things are now. Like, that was a really good conversation, man. I enjoyed
it. Yeah, I had fun talking to him. And I think, it's, you know, that's a side of D'Amico that the more and more we see him as a head football coach, you don't necessarily get to see it. It's weird because he's, as a human being, I think he's one of my favorite football coaches of all time that I've watched or know or anything else. But as a football coach and standing up at the podium, he's got to give you a certain amount of coach speak. And I think that, yeah, he did a sit down with Jonathan Alexander as well that I haven't watched yet, but I'm guessing is really good. But there's a sense about this team. And I know that when I say this, I realize they haven't actually accomplished anything of note yet, but there is just there's a vibe about the team, the defense especially, but there's a way that they operate that isn't normal. And I'm saying that in a good way, that it's hard to find in professional football this many guys that seem to be about the team and to really care about doing things the right way. There's some teams in the league where the best players are also the biggest jerks on the team. And I think that D'Amico and Nick have done a really good job of the best players on this team being guys that really care about their teammates and also go about their business the right way and aren't just sliding by on natural talent. And it's cool to, in West Virginia, it was cool to watch and see because you get more of it's a more intimate environment. You can really, you're up close, you can hear everybody talking, you can see the way they operate. And it gets me really excited about it. Yes, they have to actually go out and get to a conference championship game. They've got to win a Super Bowl at some point. But there's so many places that are in so much worse a spot in terms of coach and general manager right now. And that the kind of undefinable traits about a lot of the guys on this team and on the staff, I can just tell you it's different. I've been in the NFL and watched the NFL for a long time. And I don't know if I was ever there's very few cultures that operate the way the Texans right now operate.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Right. So what really stood out to me, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it as somebody that has been in the NFL, like, I don't know how common it is to not only have specific things that you're working on in practice. I imagine that part is very common, working on specific things, but to know individually what everybody else is working on, or to know what your teammates are working on. And so you're holding yourself accountable. You're holding your teammates accountable for what they're working on. And, like, this whole iron sharpens iron thing is not, like, just a slogan, just a T-shirt. I know it's biblical. So it's not just a biblical concept, a T-shirt concept, a catchphrase, but they're actually sharpening each other in this kind of way. Like, I thought that stood out. I don't know how common that is or if that's something that everybody does, but it does seem very intentional on the part of D'Amico.
It is I think, you know, and as alluded to when I was talking to D'Amico, there are a lot of guys in the NFL that just feel like, honestly, they want more feedback about exactly what do I need to improve. Because you get judged on a play-by-play basis, and sometimes there's not really a curriculum to follow for your development as a player, and you just end up feeling like I've got 900 things I want to get better at, and I got to get better at them all the time, and I'm trying to work on this, but then the coach is screaming at me about that. And I think D'Amico, because he played, understands that challenge and understands the challenge that players have. But then also you know, as a player, like he talked about, you learn things from the veterans that you didn't learn from the coaches. So he sees that side of it. And there's lots of former players who aren't good coaches, but D'Amico is taking all that experience that he learned as a player in a way that some coaches don't, and kind of transformed it into the way he coaches, where he almost makes it systematic that, okay, look, I got a lot of really good advice from veterans when I was a younger player. How do I make sure that that's the normal thing and that that's the standard? And that when Will Anderson is working on something, Danielle Hunter knows exactly what Will Anderson is working on that day and can have conversations with him about it and can be a coach on the field. You've got two defensive line coaches to work with at this point in camp, what, 18, 19 guys. There's only so much the coaches can do. So you empower the players themselves to be coaches on the field. And it's not just some, you know, people talk about leadership very vaguely and say, we need better veteran leadership, and then they don't define it. I think D'Amico, he's got a framework where he defines what the player leadership and the veteran leadership looks like.
Well, so I've obviously heard the anecdote that y'all led the interview with, the story that you told from when you were a veteran and D'Amico was a rookie and was already starting and you barking at him at a practice. And look, I was not expecting him. I think this is a perfect antidote to what you're talking about. I was not expecting him to remember that moment as fondly as it seemed like he did. Like,
yeah,
the fact that, and this is kind of speaking to the idea of teammates and other players holding each other accountable just as much, if not more so, and it being even more effective than it is when the coaches do it. Just kind of feeling more so accountable to the teammate, and for him to talk about how that season shaped him, how he did not forget that moment. And instead of, like, being sensitive about it or cratering in the moment, like, oh, this veteran who's older than me is being mean to me. And it, like, instead of taking it that way, it's like, oh, damn, this is really important. My role in this is really important. And even said, like, that to me showed how seriously my teammates took it, and all the more so meant that I needed to be dialed in. Like, that is the perfect attitude to take towards a moment like that. Like, who knows? Like, we weren't there. You might have been being a jerk. Maybe you were out of line. Who knows? But it didn't really matter. For D'Amico, it was, hey, this matters to my teammate.
Yeah.
And I'm still here trying to prove myself. I need to be dialed in because I'm playing for the guy next to me.
Well, this is the whole thing. I tore into many rookies in my day.
I bet you did.
So for it, when I said I felt bad about it for 19 years, it has nothing to do with the fact that I tore into a rookie that needed to be torn into, like on that moment, like in the rest of the conversation, we're talking about coaching in a positive manner and everything.
Yeah.
The stuff that happens on the football field and in the moment or on the sideline, that's a different scenario. There's a level of urgency there. The reason I felt bad about it was because in that moment when I tore into D'Amico, I didn't know who he was and how what a great kid he actually was at that point.
You didn't know he was special.
Yeah. And so I didn't know he was wired the way he was to where, like, this is the guy that of all the rookies to tear into, you know, he needed it the least. But so it was almost something that over time I was like, man, that kid, boy, I wish I'd been a little gentler with him, because I could have talked to him on the sideline and he was going to get the message. You know, I could have, and that would have been the ideal way to handle it. But in the moment when things need to be done now, that's the way it goes. So I just, that's me feeling bad about it was more the fact that he's like a Will Anderson type of guy where if you give him some advice, he's going to take it and you don't have to worry about it. But you're exactly right. That D'Amico is just, because he is that person, he's not going to sit there and act like, disgruntled that somebody criticized him in the moment. He actually took the criticism and changed very quickly, or at least heightened his level of urgency.
I noticed, too, that, and it feels like this. So you tell me if you, and honestly, you're the one who mentioned him, so you tell me if you disagree with this, but it feels like every time we have a conversation about the Texans culture, locker room, the standard that they're setting, the professionalism, setting the tone. Obviously, Will Anderson's name comes up a lot, but so does Kamari Lassiter's. Like, mm-hmm. you brought it up because I know you got to spend some time around Kamari Lassiter, but D'Amico's brought it up even before you did, or earlier in training camp, just talked about, kind of threw his name in there along with a Will Anderson as somebody like, who to follow if you're trying to figure out how to be and how to ingratiate yourself into this Texans culture. These are the guys that embody that. I just think that that's really impressive for a guy that's only played a season and seemingly arrived that way. Not to discredit the culture that has been set, but to credit them for identifying a guy that seems to fit perfectly with what it is they're trying to do both on the field and the message and the ethos that they're trying to have around the organization. Kamari Lassiter seems to be one of those guys.
Well, yeah, and Kamari, when I spoke with him, the thing that I was really impressed with is just that sometimes when you ask players, okay, what are you working on, or what are other teams focused on, do you think, after their season, off season of watching you? They don't want to go into the details of it, or maybe they don't necessarily even actually have a good answer about it. But I asked Kamari just, okay, so, hey, you know that offenses have been watching you all offseason. What do you think that they're going to try to attack, or where they think your weakness is? And he just flat out said, oh, off the ball. I was, you know, in college, I was on the ball playing press a lot. And I'm comfortable in that, but the off ball stuff, that's just something that he needs to continue to work at. And he gets you always worry about the guys who have promising rookie years. Okay. The offenses are going to watch them. The defenses are going to watch the offensive players, and they're going to try to exploit your weaknesses. That's where I feel even better about Kamari after hearing that answer, that he understands the assignment. He gets it. He knows what guys are going to try to attack this year, and that's what he's been working on in the offseason.
So you didn't hold his feet to the fire on this, and I wouldn't have either, but I got to say I was kind of curious when y'all started talking about the energy vampires.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that got rid of all the energy vampires, that the energy vampires are gone now.
I should have said, which ones? Name the energy vampires you got rid of.
Names. Give me the names. Who are they? I want to know who they are, who they were. You know?
From the comments on YouTube, a lot of people went straight to Laramie Tunsil on that.
Yeah.
For whatever it's worth, he was talking about the draft process
right.
in that moment.
Right.
So I don't think it's fair to link it to Laramie Tunsil or anybody other. I'm sure there are some veteran players that, yeah, they got rid of all those guys, but they also got rid of other guys for just whatever, normal football reasons or salary reasons or whatever else it might be.
Yeah, it could be a different reason why your energy. Maybe you just cost too damn much and you're bringing down the energy of the room just because of the sticker shot.
You know? I don't like the energy of our cap space right exactly. now. Laramie's an energy vampire on the cap space.
Another thing that I really liked that both of you guys talked, and you kind of just hit on this a little bit too, is the coaching with positive reinforcement. One of the coaches that you cited, I forget the name, but you were talking about somebody.
Gary Moeller,
who said that you can't visualize a negative.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is like something that you can apply to not just football, but just in life in general, in leadership, just period across the board on how maybe a better way to go about criticizing and trying to have that, build that rapport with somebody when like you're always on their ass, but you know, kind of in a positive way, you're showing them what to do and not telling them what not to do. You know,
right,
like
well,
there's some value in that.
Look, you can be the most cynical, grumpiest person in the world, but the fact of the matter is, if you just focus on the behavior you want, it eliminates a step in the process. You know, it makes it a more efficient progress. If I say don't fumble the football, then in your mind, you're getting a mental rep because immediately you visualize dropping a football. And then you got to tell yourself, okay, wait, no. So what do I have to do? Oh, I have to hold on to the football. Well, that's inefficient. So just let's cut to the chase. Hold on to the football. This is what we need you to do. Hold on to the football. Hold on to the football. Great. And then you start visualizing that, and that's what you're practicing. So even if you're just hardwired to be negative, you're being inefficient. So, and there's nothing negative people hate more than being inefficient. I can speak from experience. So just get rid of that step in the process and focus on the behavior that you want. And that's D'Amico's very much wired that way. And it also, and I'm glad I talked to him about it with Aziz Alshire, like that dynamic. Aziz will talk about how him and D'Amico have butted heads. And it's not because D'Amico was, you know, screaming or insulting Aziz or anything. It's because D'Amico holds his players to a really, really high standard. And it doesn't matter if the coach is yelling or if he's doing it in a soft tone of voice. It's really frustrating sometimes when you got a coach that's just making you do everything perfectly. That's what a tough football coach is. There's a lot of guys that fake toughness as football coaches because they think if they yell and swear and cuss a lot that now I'm being a tough coach. When in fact, a lot of those guys are the laziest football coaches because they actually don't know how to coach the technique to get the behavior they want. So they just revert to just yelling and screaming and hoping that it works, which is lazy. So you always have to ask yourself, it's not like you're never going to lose your temper or anything, but you always have to ask yourself as a coach, if I'm flipping out over something right now, is it because I actually genuinely don't know how to teach and coach this properly? It's some kids are lazy and they need to be taught a hard lesson. Other kids are trying really, really hard. And instead of you giving them the tools to improve at the task, you're just making them feel worse than they already do because they really want to do it the right way. And you're just, all you're doing is berating them instead of actually telling them and teaching them how to do it the right way.
Couldn't agree more, man. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. So you mentioned Aziz Alshire. We're going to hear from him. He talked with Sean Pendergast exclusively. So we're going to hear from him in the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to revisit that interview that we just heard with you and D'Amico Ryans in the 9 o'clock hour. So if you missed any of it, or if you want to tell somebody who might have missed it about it, let them know that they can find it in the 9 o'clock hour. We will revisit it. But for now, let's switch over to the Astros for a second. Does a healthy Yordan Alvarez put the Astros in this conversation? What conversation? We'll talk about that next.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too.
At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Holding it down, having a good time, and it's been real football heavy, obviously. Feels like a football Friday. We had preseason games. We haven't even talked about those yet, Seth, because, like, whatever, right?
Well, we had preseason action yesterday. Anthony Richardson got hurt. I saw reports it was a dislocated finger, apparently, or some kind of finger injury, which I saw a couple medical people accurately say, hey, this happens. It's not usually that big a deal. Right, but you know what also happens pretty regularly?
Anthony Richardson
leaving games because of an injury.
Dude, and you know what? He actually, I'll say this, he's lucky if it's just a finger issue, because it looked like he got ear holed. He was clearly hot, right? Like, he was hot and did not have a hot route, or did not know it, or I mean, I don't know what broke down there, but he was hot and didn't know that he was about to get hit, man. So if it's just a finger and it ain't his actual ear hole, he got out pretty good on that.
That is a good point. Yeah, sometimes the concussion symptoms are delayed. Maybe it'll be that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that, it's that combination of just, he's injury prone to begin with. He doesn't really just understand how to run a football play. And there's not a chance in hell the Colts, going into the season, even before he got injured yesterday, I think we're thinking like, oh yeah, we can rely on Anthony Richardson to A, throw more than 50% of his, complete more than 50% of his passes, and B, stay healthy the entire year.
Yeah, it's that I'd say that they easily have right now the worst quarterback situation in the division. Like, easily. Like, I don't say what you want about Trevor Lawrence. You'd rather that than what they got going on. And then Cam Ward, at least, is new. Like, until he goes out there and sucks, and I think he's actually going to be pretty good, but until he gives you a reason to think that he's Anthony Richardson or whatever, name your bust quarterback, like, that's something to be excited about. So
I'm nervous about Cam Ward the same way I was nervous about Anthony Richardson, which is, in their rookie year especially, you never know. And even if a guy isn't a good quarterback long term, if they have the tools, then, and you don't know exactly how to attack them, is they're in a new scheme and they don't have tendencies yet, then yeah, they can, on any given Sunday, they can ruin your day, as Anthony Richardson did as a rookie. Cam Ward's a much better passer than Anthony Richardson was, but you still, even if you know with any rookie quarterback, you just flat out don't know how they're going to be. But Cam Ward has some tools with his improvisational ability, with his arm and his ability to make some crazy throws, that on any given Sunday, Cam Ward makes me really nervous. Now, we'll worry about him in the long term after this season, but there are a lot of X factors there with him.
Yeah, there's basically a rookie on every team in the division that's going to intrigue me. You know, from Cam Ward, obviously, with the Titans. I'm looking up at NFL Network right now, and they're showing some Travis Hunter B-roll or video in layman's terms. And Tyler Warren, the tight end. Am I getting his
yeah,
name right?
Tyler Warren, yeah,
Tyler Warren, the tight end that's with the Colts, and
yeah,
had a couple of moments yesterday, from what I understand. So like there is an intriguing rookie to watch for every team, but it's going to be a quarterback for the Titans. And like a couple of years ago, I know Anthony Richardson was kind of the intriguing guy. That shine has worn off, man. It looks like that's a dude that, like you said, can't get a playoff, but also like just can't seem to stay on the field. Like, to save his life, can't seem to stay on the field.
Well, and even last year when he came back after he'd been benched partly for taking himself out of the game
and admitting to it to the world.
Yeah, on a third and goal when they were trailing, that wasn't emphasized enough when people talked about that in the national media, that it was third and goal as they were trailing in what was still a close game.
And he said, quote, "I had done a lot of running." That was a lot of running.
Right. Yeah. The previous play, he had run for 0 yards. So you can see how he'd be tired after a play like that. I saw somebody last night say, "Wow, Tyler Warren could add 10% to add 10% to Anthony Richardson's completion rate." And my first thought in my mind was, ooh, is the league ready for a 59% completion rate quarterback? Oh,
stay woke. Stay woke.
He's still one of the worst quarterbacks in the league at a 59% completion rate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hell of a situation that they got going on over there. We'll see. Like, I know Daniel Jones came in there and didn't exactly light the world on fire, but he did play faster, did look like he could run a play, right? Like, mm-hmm. he did look like an actual functioning quarterback. I don't know how good he's going to be, but we shall see.
I'm nervous about Daniel Jones just because, we've seen stretches of good play from Daniel Jones before. He's been the most extreme version of what the narrative becomes, because on draft day, the narrative was, I can't believe the Giants drafted Daniel Jones that high. And then somewhere along the way, he showed some promise and people were, dunking on people for the fact that Daniel Jones actually is a good quarterback. He is going to be playing for Shane Steichen. You saw Shane Steichen give Gardner Minshew the best year he's had in his career. And I think Shane Steichen knows what he's doing. I am impressed by some of the ways, some of the things he's done with his quarterback. So after seeing Sam Darnold transform into a viable NFL quarterback, after watching Geno Smith become the best version of himself deep into his career, I'm never gonna completely count out anybody again. Sam Darnold, I was way off on Sam Darnold. I'm still not completely sold on Sam Darnold, but I didn't know that version of him existed, the one that he showed last year.
Dude, we've come a long way, man, because I remember when Sam Darnold was in Carolina because they played the Texans that year, and you were not buying it, dude. Because, like, no. I think they were, like, 3-0, or, like, they were doing well up until that point,
yeah.
And you were like, hell nah. You're not gonna fool me with that. And then sure enough, you were right.
Yeah,
you were right.
Well,
you
know, I was right
at that point, you were right.
One of our listeners, I've conceded victory to him, or defeat to him, whichever you concede. He was hammering this all summer long last year that I was being too blasé about Sam Darnold, and he was right. I was wrong. I was too blasé about Sam Darnold with the Vikings.
All right. So to pay off on this tease, ESPN.com's Alden Gonzalez has a story up on the injured stars who could boost contenders down the stretch. Now, I think we know kind of the obvious one, right? Aside from, if we just put the pitchers aside, because we know they got like a roster of pitchers that are on the shelf. If there is an injured star, okay, I know Jeremy Pena had been out, but if there's an injured star who's been missing for the Astros, that would sort of change their trajectory, we all know it to be Yordan Alvarez, right? Mm-hmm. So it's no surprise that Yordan Alvarez is the first name mentioned in this article, okay, as somebody that could boost a contender down the stretch. But there was he's got a sentence back that I didn't actually think as much about until I read him write this. You know, so I read this actual sentence. He said that Alvarez back in the middle of the Astros lineup could put the Astros in the conversation for best team in the American League, if not all of baseball. Now, I sat back because, like, I'm kind of with the drive yesterday. I was listening to them yesterday, and, you know, Ron the Show Hughley's like, man, I've kind of given up on the idea that Yordan might come back. Clint's not ready to give up. Tyler seems like he's ready to give up. I think I'm leaning toward where Tyler and Ron are of like, man, he's missed. I've lost count again. Hasn't played since early May. So I've lost track of how many games he's missed at this point. I'm not counting on him to come back. But when you frame it this way, as this ESPN.com writer did, that putting him back in the middle of the lineup, especially in what seems like a wide open Major League Baseball, even more so than most years, could put the Astros in the conversation for best team in the American League, if not all of baseball. That got my juices flowing a little bit. That got my juices, even if I'm not sure he comes back.
It's somebody on the outside, even if you don't agree with the take, perhaps, it's almost, it feels too easy and simple that, okay, wait a second, one guy, yes, his production would be great. I do think that the big thing that Yordan Alvarez provides, obviously, aside from all the conventional stuff of, hey, guys are getting on base, but we're leaving a lot of guys on base. His ability to knock those guys in, yes, 100%, that makes a big difference. But just the composition of the lineup in total, where you have so few lefties, even though you bring one in at the trade deadline, that makes it really easy for teams in a playoff series to just, you don't have to worry. You can put your absolute best righties out there and not worry about, if there's a lefty that you're not quite sure about, you just leave them out of the whole series. That changes dramatically. And I think the part of a pitcher having to address Fromber, whether he's a righty or a lefty, but then especially because he's a lefty, it keeps pitchers that much more unsettled. And I think it does give you really a cumulative effect above and beyond just his individual production or his RBIs, that it could be a much bigger shot in the shoulder than maybe it feels like it should be on paper. As far as his actual hand, I've almost put him in a little mini Lance McCullers category, where Lance McCullers for years now, you know, he's coming back from an injury. All right, great. But like, oh, okay. And then we got another injury. We got a setback. So you almost just put him on a shelf and try not to think about him. I think that's what I've done with Yordan now.
It's like a luxury item.
Yeah. I kind of operate it and look, at this team in terms of the guys that they have available or who are definitely coming off the IL in the next couple of weeks. And I just hope that, hey, if Yordan shows up, then it's a bonus, but I can't depend on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even aside from the injury, Seth, honestly, like, I think part of it for me in wanting to not invest too much into the idea that this could, like, save their season or be the thing that puts them over the top is that not only have we not seen Yordan in a long time, but we hadn't seen a good Yordan all of this year, right? Like, leading up to the point of him being injured and being out, his slash line was not, it left a lot to be desired. It wasn't like quintessential or classic Yordan. Now, obviously, having him is better than not having him, and I still like believe him to be on par with the Aaron Judges and Shohei Ohtanis of the world when he's healthy, but clearly he wasn't healthy earlier this year, right? Like, clearly his hand was broken when he was out there, and then he hasn't been out there since early May. So
those are the two big ifs are there's no way that the production wasn't, you know, related to the hand, because it was his worst stretch of play.
Right.
That was the worst slump he's ever been in. So I guess the biggest, if he comes back, he's a guy that generally has come back pretty well when he's had injuries. It's not like it's going to take him a month and a half to get his timing back or anything. It feels so much like Kyle Tucker last year or Christian Harris last year. It's reached that stage of mystery injury and there's just no possible way to put an actual timeline on it.
Brandon Scott here with Seth Payne. I'm rolling in for Sean Pendergast, who, speaking of which, talked to Texans starting linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair yesterday at Texans training camp. We heard from Azeez on the station earlier in training camp. Got to hear from him again at the Greenbrier through Sean Pendergast. We're going to hear some of that and react to it. Talk a little bit about the linebackers, the Texans linebackers, that is. That's on the other side of Payne and Pendergast.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair, and the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.